kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
Kings of freedom from around the globe listening in. You're very welcome to this episode, as you're welcome to every single episode here at Kings of Freedom podcast. And well, every topic is an intimate topic of high load and importance for conscious men around the world like yourselves, inviting you to step into your kingship. And yet, the topic today is the first in a three-part special series that I'm doing here. It might be at the epicenter of what it means to step into kingship. Possibly it's one of the most provocative topics for modern men, considering the conditioning, the shaming, humiliation of man that has been in existence for generations now, arguably in some senses for millennia. It's a provocative topic because it actually brings us face to face with our shadow, with the shadow that has been created in our own lives, in our own individual paths as men, but also the shadow of shame and inadequacy that has been handed down to us for generations. It's an intergenerational trauma mechanism that's at the base of this topic. So there's the load that we have on ourselves, in many senses, unwittingly created by ourselves on our own path. But there's a loaded intergenerational baggage on our back as men, that in this generation we're dealing with, not only for on behalf of ourselves, but on behalf of generations gone before us. The topic is sacred humiliation, an intense initiation into kingship. And speaking to the initiatory relevance of this topic, you know, I just at the beginning of this year, launching Kings of Freedom, the podcast first, and then kingsoffreedom.me, the online training portal and global community, which is up and running now. One of the first things I had to do was create a new logo for the movement. And it was funny, I reached out to the community, the online Facebook group, which was the original ground for interactions with the community. And I asked them about two logos that I'd whittled down at the last phase, and it was very interesting. I was a bit torn between both of them, and I wanted to get feedback. And, you know, one had wings of an eagle sort of flying up into the air as part of the main logo. And the one that I ended up deciding to go with had a crown. You'll see it there as you log in to the podcast. Big heavy crown with a sort of like a heart centered, the feminine in the middle, and the crown representing the masculine. And I was quite torn between both of them, and a lot of feedback came that guys were really liking the eagle wings, and I could really understand why, because, you know, fearless freedom is a part of our motto. Kingly confidence, masculine mastering, and fearless freedom. You know, and the wings really are suggestive of that, and a lot of guys really resonated with the wings, and I did too. And yet there was some intuitive part of me that was really just going with the crown. And I had to reflect and slow down and really meditate on well, what is it, Mark? You know, there a lot of feedback is saying wings. A part of you is liking the wings, but what is it about the crown? And the imagery came to me of the coronation of a king. You know, you might think of some historical coronations maybe you've witnessed, and maybe more regular modern day life, you know, coronations of the king in a film. You know, there's that part where the eyes of the kingdom are looking at this one man sitting in his throne. He's going through his initiatory passage to become the most powerful person in the kingdom, the leader of the kingdom. And part of that ritual, that in rite of passage, is putting the crown on the head. So on one level, that rite of passage is his passageway to becoming the man with the most power in the kingdom. No other person in that kingdom, in that realm, in that population has more power than this person. So from an egoic point of view, it's like, fuck yeah, you know, it's like the most powerful man in the kingdom. And yet with great power comes enormous responsibility. It can seem like a revelatory, egoic rite of passage where it's like, yes, I've all this power. And yet the crown being put on his head, he's the number one power, but he's responsible for everything. And that's why I ended up going with the logo that had the crown. It's like the heavy crown that was there. Because, you know, we can talk about the king within. Kings of Freedom, I have it in the title of this movement, title of the podcast, my work. And my invitation to you guys is, you know, it's all about the king, it's the king archetype. And yet the king archetype, it's a rite of passage. It's an intense initiation into kingship to put energetically, symbolically, to put that crown on your head. And think about it. You know, there's the initiation into fatherhood. When you decide, if it was it an actual decision, or did you consciously make it? Well, when a child comes into the world, for those of you that are parents, you know that there's a massive energetic shift, an initiation happens. We mightn't have the old initiatory rites of passage like we did in such a valuable way of times gone by, when the tribe, you know, when there was always an initiation, a formal ceremony that guys had this rite of passage from, you know, being lone wolves into parenthood, being children into manhood. There was a rite of passage, conscious, spiritual, powerful, profound rites of passage from being a single man into marriage, etc., etc. So putting the crown on and speaking of yourself as a king, it's a major initiatory energetic passage, and sacred humiliation is at the core of what all of this is about, and bringing and calling on your greatest power. Just want to put a little bit of context on this. We're going to be talking about sacred humiliation in this episode, the intense initiation into kingship. I'm going to do a second episode, which is going to be talking about the shaming humiliation of men when kingly lions became sedated sheep. It's going to go deep into the mechanism of how so much shame has been put upon us. No blaming on any aspect of society. Blaming weakens us as kings, but it is essential and important for our own psyche to realize that decisions were made over a century ago, and maybe even some centuries ago, that put in process a knocking over of dominoes that has a very real and deep effect on our psyche as men today, and we need to bring that into the light. The third episode is going to be sacred humiliation, the core masculine mastery practice explained. There's a practice. Today's episode is an introduction into sacred humiliation as an idea, as a philosophical way of life, as a kingly paradigm, a view, perspective on life. But this third episode is going to talk about it as a repeatable ritual, a process, a habit that you can use in your life to bring your greatest power. That said, let's go deeper into sacred humiliation and intense initiation into kingship today. The word humiliation, I mean, it has such a negative connotation for modern men. And yet, slowing down, it's always important when there's a certain word that provokes and triggers you and triggers us as men. I always find it a very important practice to get to the root of what the word means. You know, there's so many words in use in modern life that have become known or have become known to have a certain meaning, and yet the root of it is completely different. Modern education, you know, systematic schooling, sit down, shut up, don't, your wisdom has nothing to do with it, we'll pour all of this wisdom into you irrespective of emotionally how you feel about it. That's education. Yet education, the root of it is educare, which is drawing out the truth that lies within you. It's all about your authentic self. But the modern word education and the root of the word education are completely poles apart. So that's just a key example. And the same goes for humiliation. You know, our understanding of the word humiliation as men very much comes from shaming humiliation. It's like times our dads, our mothers, our stepfathers, the teacher at school, the priest or religious figure shamed us. They humiliated us. They made us feel really bad about ourselves with a certain comment, a criticism, a public, you know, criticism in front of the class, in front of the group, in front of the family. It's a put down. And they were put downs consciously, unconsciously, obviously, probably more unconsciously, with the purpose of actually making us feel bad. There was no reasoning behind it. There was no process. There was no sort of a conscious thing that they said that was actually had the purpose of making us actually feel stronger, and there was no follow-up, a conscious follow-up to explain the process, to help us on that path. So the word humiliation has such a negative ingrained connotation for men that on many levels, without this conscious explanation today, you'd be right to fucking not like the idea of humiliation. And there's a part of us as men in our psyche, not knowing any different, a part of our minds rightfully responded within ourselves in a way that part of our mind said, made this stance within, which is like, I'll never be made feel like that again. You know, when your stepdad or your dad and whoever it is, you'll know the person for you. And I slow down with you. This is another intimate conversation, and my invitation as always is to enter this podcast in your engagement like I'm speaking with you around a campfire, you know, how men's circles are ran. And as I'm speaking, it's like I'm making a direct eye contact with you, you know, intermittently. I'm speaking directly to you. I invite you in like that because, as always, it's so easy to just listen passively. It's like, yeah, it's sort of interesting. I take a little bit of value from it. But like, it's, you come in, you have the experience, you go out the far side and nothing really changes. My invitation is to really drop in that this is a deep, intimate conversation between me and you. I know there's a beautifully expanding audience of other guys, but bring that personal relevance to it to have the greatest experience of value for yourself. The word humiliation comes from humus, which humus means ground. And it's the truth of where you're at. When you land with humility, you land on the ground of truth of where you are at a given moment of your life on a certain topic. It has nothing to do about feeling bad. And yet so often in life we're taught and told repeatedly, the truth hurts. Well, the truth in itself has no inherent hurting capacity. The only thing that hurts is that the shaming of society, and we'll go into that in episode 2, the shaming humiliation of men, it's the shaming humiliation that has happened and occurred for generations now. That's the only reason why the truth is perceived as hurting always. Yet when we start looking at sacred humiliation and finding the ground of the truth of where you're at as being, I would argue, the most empowering experience to actually ground where you're at and know how to move forward. Let's deepen on this as a process. So going from shaming humiliation that you might have experienced growing up, which has this feeling of the truth hurts, and yeah, just going into it is like just a little bit of context. I mean, the truth hurts. We weren't taught as men how to deal with hurt. You know, growing up, we were conditioned that your tears meant you were weak, meant you were a failure. It's like, man up. That came later, but it was like, get up, you pussy, get up, you little wuss, get up, you little girl, like shaming the feminine. And the feminine is the emotion within us. Essentially, the feminine, our emotional, the feelings that we have, because we're human, they were shamed out of us to the point at which we closed down. We learned, no, you can't, as a man, you're not meant to. A real man does not express pain. A real man is not allowed to suffer. A real man is not allowed express tears. You know, your dad, your stepdad, your football coach, and then boys around us, the social conditioning was, you know, shut the fuck up, stop crying, get up and get on with it, man up, toughen up, be a man. We learn to shut down that and equate that hurt, expressing that you're feeling hurt, means you're a failure as a man. So thus we eliminated any expression and ownership of hurt, of pain, of suffering within ourselves. And so the truth hurts. You know, it's, we have, if hurting means we're failure, well then facing truth that can reveal a hurt within us, we can't enter into that process. Yet going deeper, when it's only knowing when where you're at, you can't move forward and you can't progress in any area of your life where you're limiting progress. You cannot move forward until you know exactly where you're at. I think of, you know, I was in the Outdoor Pursuits Club in the University of Limerick, and I absolutely loved hill walking. And we did, I did mountain leadership training where, you know, obviously map skills were at the core of all the learning that we were doing. And you know, there's two points on the map that you need to be clear on. You need to have great clarity. Maybe the easiest thing is to find where you're going. You know, quite often it's the top of the mountain, you know, symbolically, obviously the top of where your peak performance is at. And the second, but it's the most important part, is having a continually omnipresent awareness of where you are now on the map. Because if you didn't know exactly with radical confidence where you were currently on the map as you were going from A to B, B is the top of the mountain, A is somewhere else on the map, you know, and as you're stepping forward, assuming your compass skills are correct, you have to be able to point where you are on the map at any given time. If you're not able to point where you are on the map, well, then treacherous dangers on the mountain reveal themselves because, well, if you thought you were in point A, but you're actually in point B, well, point A, and you move forward 100 steps, you're safe. If you're actually in point B, thinking you're in point A, and you move forward 100 steps, you could fall off and bring members of your group over a cliff. This was the reality in the mountains. And yet in life, so often when we equate that the truth hurts, then we end up minimizing and normalizing where we're at. You know, my invitation to you now is, you know, think of some personally relevant situations in your life, topics in your life, areas where deep down you'd love to improve, but you're finding it hard to own the truth of exactly where you're at. Think about health and fitness. Think about, you know, your shape. Have you been minimizing and normalizing the shape? You know, maybe your shape when you were 18, 19, 20, mid-20s. How's it now when you look down as a 30, 40-year-old, 50-year-old? Have you been minimizing and normalizing the truth of where you're at with a story of, oh yeah, well, you know, it's grand and it's fine. You know, you bring a story and it's like, oh, I'm happy where I'm happy as a man. You focus on another part. Yeah, but I'm quite happy, but you're happy in general life. I'm a successful man, you know. But really, if you just looked at your body, are you actually happy with that body? This is not to shame you, but it's just to bring your awareness on, are you really, can you look at your body and think, well, I'm 10 out of 10. I'm at my best. I'm at my in my peak shape. Where would you put yourself with radical honesty? And this is not a shaming process. This is just part of the process of grounding yourself in where you're at, with what your ideal would be. That's your 10 out of 10. That's your peak. That's the peak of the mountain. But where are you at now in relationship with that peak of the mountain? Out of 10. Financially, peak of the mountain. That's 10 out of 10. Where are you at now out of 10 in relationship to that? And just notice in emotionally what's happening in this process when I bring it sort of relevant and I'm sort of bringing it in a way that's engaging you in this conversation now. It's a process of beginning to face the truth of where you're at. Notice how it gets real. There can be a bit of tension that comes up. There can be a bit of shame that comes up. It can get like, you can get even like a flush of redness to the cheeks or a flutters in the tummy. It's like, oh, I'm beginning to look at my reality. But until you look at the reality, you can't find where the next step is. So, you know, going forward in this conversation, become aware of emerging truths of where you're at in certain aspects. I'm not going to list them all. You know, quick, can be marriage, can be intimate relationship in your parenting. I'm going to talk about deeply intimate experiences that I have had to go through the process of sacred humiliation of fully owning the ground, the truth of where I am at and where I was at on some highly intense, provocative life situations where it was either I took 100% ownership or it was breakdown. It was complete breakdown or breakthrough moments of massive relevance, as you will understand when I share them with you. So to be of greatest benefit to you and support to you and to be of support to yourself, the more truth and the more radical honesty you bring to this, the greater the value will be in your life. And this podcast is all about creating immense value for you guys in that will produce tangible, real results of transformation, inner transformation, and leading to outer transformation in your life. That's my commitment to you always. Talking about 100%, sacred humiliation is taking about 100% responsibility. And I speak to this because, you know, in a lot of life situations, there can be other people involved in a certain situation. It's always taking 100% responsibility. That's the kingly way. And what that is, in a situation, what that means is there's 100%, and if there's another party involved, your queen, your kids, your co-worker, your boss, somebody, a committee, you know, whatever it is, there's a second entity involved, an individual or a group of people. Could be like on a macro level, the government is at fault. The kingly way is taking 100% responsibility. There's your 100% and there's the other party's 100%. It's not to take it all on your shoulders, but it's not to point the finger and blame the others for the part of the 100% that they're not doing. Because immediately when you do that, you're negating your own 100%. That's why we point a finger. And it's not shaming yourself either. Taking 100% is not like, oh, it's all my fault. I'm a piece of shit. Oh, it's I've ruined the situation. No, 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 no. That's not the kingly way. That's nothing. That's actually negating your own 100%. That's camping out in victim vomit. That is not the point either. But taking 100% is taking the full load off your creative part in creating this situation that you're feeling. Health and fitness is out of whack. Don't blame your wife for, you know, asking too much off you, that you have to mind the kids too much. Don't blame your boss because you have to work overtime. Don't blame the economy that you have to, you know, work 70 hours and you don't have time to yourself. Just don't blame anybody, but claim the responsibility yourself. What's your 100%? What are the dominoes that you have allowed be knocked over in the last 12 months, the last 12 years, the last two decades that has brought you to this situation where your body is at where it's at, where your mind is at where it's at, where your finances are where it's at, where your marriage is where it's at, you know, where your parenting is where it's at, all these major life aspects. It's take that 100%, and it's intense. It's really, really intense. One initiatory experience that I went through myself to give you some relevance of what I mean by sacred humiliation, the intense initiation into kingship. About a year and a half ago, I was pre this whole silliness of lockdown, etc. Year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I was about a year into my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training, and it is such a revelatory experience that I absolutely love. I'm not in that training at the moment, just with social scenarios, lockdown. It's the training has been curtails, the club is not open, but I will re-enter that training. But I experienced one initiation, and it was a process of what I call sacred humiliation, because part of my coaching work and putting my word out there and, you know, just holding myself to account, I had this really deep inspiration of becoming a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt before the age of 40. And I put this video out when, I believe at the time, I was probably 35. Which, looking back, I didn't ask anybody what the process was, how long it took. I just put it out. It felt right to hold myself to account, and I put a video out on YouTube. I would learn later that, effectively, it takes, you know, 8 to 10 years of intense training to reach black belt status. But that said, I'm sort of proud of myself. I was leaning into my edge of fear in putting that video out. And I tagged a few people in it, and one was my jiu-jitsu coach, sensei. His name is Francesco, a dear friend. And, you know, he sent me a message back, and sort of an honourable, beautiful message of support in that, and congratulated me on actually just, you know, stepping into my power. But the very next training dojo I went to, I stood onto the mat, and we did the training session, and then there was the half an hour of rolls at the end. Rolls is what you call when you just do 5 minute of sort of fight experience of jiu-jitsu with another member. You do 5 minutes, minute break, 5 minutes with somebody else, minute break, 5 minutes with somebody else, etc. to the end. It's what you put into practice what you've been learning in a very live and intense sense. What was interesting how it unfolded was, and I look back now and I recognize consciously, it was an initiatory process that Francesco would put me through. You know, in the weeks leading up to this experience, my jiu-jitsu was improving. I was applying myself really intensely with great concentration in the training sessions, really listening in and putting into practice as much as I could. And I was getting better. And in my roles with Francesco, you know, I could see my improvements. You know, I got him with a triangle at one point, and, you know, I felt really good after it. I was beginning to get into situations where, you know, my improving quickness, my accelerated thinking in tight spots, I was beginning to get myself into situations that were, like, really impossible weeks and definitely months previous to that in my roles with him. And yet I stepped onto the mat this time. This was, you know, the first training after I had put that video out on YouTube, publicly announcing I was going to be, I planned to be a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt before the age of 40. There was no chit-chat. In a way, there was no smile. Just tapped hands, tapped fists, customary ritual before you roll. And then he unleashed. He completely annihilated me. He pulverized my every weak spot. He gave me, there was no oxygen. I do breath hold training, there was no oxygen that day. Every single bit of slow movement, he just annihilated and showed me cleanly, crisply, clearly, unapologetically, unfuckwithably, he showed me up for where exactly my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practice was at. He tapped me. I lost count of the amount of times he tapped me. He brought me to submission. And it's submission in Jiu-Jitsu is where when you tap somebody, tap, you need to tap them to say, essentially, it's like, you have won. I accept defeat. You have submitted me with your brilliance. I am defeated. It's gaining comfort with saying, without any ego, I have failed. I am defeated. And honoring that process. He tapped me, it might have been 7-8 times in 5 minutes. It's a lot of tapping. Came to the end. We bowed to each other. Words weren't exchanged. You know, as normally there'd be a little bit of chit-chat and a little bit of commentary, maybe a joke. We're good friends off the mat. Nothing was said, and yet everything was said. I went away, and it was an initiation, bloody intense, but an initiation of sacred humiliation. Did he do that to humiliate me, to shame me, to make me feel bad about myself? No. He went that intensely at me in that role because he was actually honoring me for the height of where I was putting my point on the map. I expressed a public desire to become a jiu-jitsu black belt. He bowed to that. It was his honoring of, okay, you want to be a black belt? This is your path. However, you need to know this is where you truly are at in your practice. He honored my point B in the map, the peak of the mountain. But he knew energetically, psychologically, spiritually even, I needed to know with crystal clear clarity where exactly I was starting on the path. I even feel so emotional now when I think of the level of love that and attention and care as an instructor of what he brought to that process. And yet it was a rite of passage. I could have come out the far side and crumbled. I could have come out the far side and went like, took it personal. Like, what the fuck was that about? I mean, is he trying to prove a point? No. I came out the far side more grounded, more motivated, more focused than ever on what I needed to do in my training to get where I was from my point A to get to my point B. That's the process of sacred humiliation. It's not shaming humiliation, it's sacred humiliation. I think of the quote by Buddha, greater in battle than the man who would conquer 1,000,000 men is he who would conquer just one, himself. The king in you knows that your only battle in life to bring out your greatness, to bring out that kingly confidence, to be on the path of masculine mastery, to unleash the fearless freedom that exists within you, It's within you. It's winning the battle within yourself. And you can only start winning that battle in the most profound and revelatory way imaginable by facing the sacred truth of where you're at. Facing the humus, the ground, the truth of where you're at so you can get your point A to then finally step forward with confidence towards your point B. slowing down and tapping in, you know, the masculine practice, the core masculine practice as a heart warrior on the path is the practice of embodied consciousness. It's being present. It's an inner process. We've been conditioned on the outside to look at the outer world and blame and shame it. But this is when you claim your power, it's the masculine practice of being embodied consciousness, being that witnessing awareness. That's the king archetype. It's learning and practice. It's a practice. It's not something that you can intellectually, oh, I've got the idea now. Mark explained it on the podcast, or I read it in the book. Now I get it. It's a practice. Repeatedly finding where you're at. It's the practice being that inner witnessing awareness of the intensity of the situation that you're facing. Learning to take 100% responsibility and practicing being the witnessing awareness, not for what's happening on the outside, but being the witnessing awareness, the neutral witnessing awareness of what's emerging within you. And that's where your greatness comes as a man. Is practicing being the conscious awareness and witnessing presence of what is revealed in you as you experience entering the fire of intimate relationship, entering the fire of business, entering the fire of parenthood, entering the fire of just what life throws at you, the storm of existence. You'll have your own individual inner battles. I just slow down and invite you again. Make this real. What are the outer, what's the outer storm of life putting on your plate now? What storms have life, has life put on your plate before that has tested you most in the inner way? Have people near and dear to you died? Did your wife leave you? Did the economy collapse? Did your child get sick? You know, like, when has life seemingly hit you a slap energetically in the face and forced you into just facing that inner realm? At this point, guys, I really want to get this real. You know, deep men's inner work around the campfire. It's not ever about, and I really want to speak to this directly, and I remind myself of this in private, and I remind myself to be accountable here in the podcast again and again. Repetition is mastery. I really want to hold myself accountable in your presence to the truth of where I'm at, to practice coming from sacred humiliation myself. I bear witness to, on my journey of listening to podcasts, of reading books, of, you know, I have my own mentors, teachers, guys along my path that I have, that have helped me in many ways. And yet there's an emerging pattern that I've seen that I really don't want to replicate. And it comes from deeply admirable men that have broken ground. They were trailblazers in many senses and have brought brilliant teachings to the world. And yet, what I found is there's a big pattern of, you know, guys that hit the public arena, the podcast, the big arena where there's thousands of people listening in, and they teach amazing, conscious, empowering principles and ideas that really work. But there's this air of they're unstoppable. Like, these are the principles, these are the ways to structure your life, to be unstoppable, to take massive action, to be the hero of your life. And part of the male psyche can be like, this is fucking brilliant, and you feel fired up, and you walk on flames of fire, and, you know, you do whatever practice, and you come out the far side, I'm unstoppable. And yet, this can be a massive disservice in ways, because in reality, there's a lot of shame, and as I pointed to at the beginning, there's intergenerational shame and a sense of inadequacy that is not spoken about enough. You know, and very often these teachers end up, you know, their marriage failed because they're on the road that much serving the millions and the masses that, you know, their situation at home just wasn't pretty, but they weren't really talking about this. and weren't really talking. And, you know, it exists now as well, where, you know, a lot of coaches and teachers, the reason why we end up doing this path is part of our healing journey. That's part of my journey, but every single coach, every single teacher out there, it's part of our hero's journey in leading like this, is to help heal ourselves. But I want to be real and authentic and actually bring my own story to the path to keep it real. I'll leave it at that. Where sacred humiliation, the idea, that's a term that I've come up with that is of deep relevance. I invite you into my learning, my experience as a man, as intimately as possible. Again, like I'm speaking with you across the table, lovely cup of coffee mug that we're having, or like at the fire at a men's circle. I want to share with you now where this idea was birthed for me. I won't speak about all the experiences I've been through. There have been a lot of immensely and intense fires of that life have put on my path, thankfully, that have tested where I'm at and revealed where I'm truly at. And yet, for the vast majority of my adult life, I wasn't comfortable facing and embracing the storm of life, of what it was actually telling me about the truth of where I was at. In actual fact, I was resisting that. And I want to own that so often, like if I think in marriage, I was actually blaming my queen for, you know, the shit that she was pointing at me. When I felt triggered, I would go into a defensive mode, and I'd, on an inner level, vast majority, but then on the outer level, I'd communicate. It was like I'd blame her, I'd fight back effectively, and then I was shaming myself massively in the inside, but never claiming it. So I want to just say that. It's just in the last, I'm going to share certain experiences in the last 12 to 18 months with you now that have really tested and challenged me to the core of my being. And the process, what I now call sacred humiliation, was birthed from my experiential know-how that came from facing and embracing these experiences. But they were fucking really intense. One of the most transformation experiences in my life, and probably at another time, another day, and another day, another episode, I will go much deeper in to give relevance, speaking on the topic of intimacy. Yet one of the most exquisitely challenging experiences I have ever faced as a man happened, I think about chronologically, it might be about a year and a half ago at this point. Maybe 2 years. And it actually kicked off. It was such a great gift because it kicked off me finally stepping into my power. It was one of the most revelatory experiences I'd ever went through, which gave me no option. It truly was breakdown. Marriage, parenting, my life as I knew it, as I thought I loved it, would have just crumbled and fallen apart, or breakthrough. I'll give sort of quick and concise details on it. In oversimplifying it, it needs a lot of context to truly honour where I was at, where this other man that was involved was at, and where my queen was at. In the oversimplification, I will not give that sacred context, but you'll get the idea. I come out the far side, hopefully deeply honouring my role in it, my queen's role in it, the sacredness, and indeed this other guy. But what involved, I've already said and pointed to, it involved another guy, and, you know, in deep intimate relationships, when another guy gets involved, maybe you have had your experience off that, it gets complicated. And in many ways it gets complicated. It did for me when I was not owning my part, my 100% responsibility in this situation. Effectively, in a nutshell, I linked in with this guy online, Facebook, etc., etc., had jumped on a couple of calls, and it came up, this opportunity. He was traveling, and an opportunity came where he was looking for sort of bed and lodging, and in exchange for doing some work. And we had 8-9 horses at the time, and I was like thinking, yeah, cool opportunity. It'll take the heat off us for a number of weeks and allow us to have some time and space to breed, to get into our creative endeavors, etc., etc. So I said, hey, let's do it. So it was actually from my conscious, it was my conscious decision where I invited this guy in. And cut a long story short, guys, superficially anyway, but this guy, emotionally, if I speak from the lover archetype, and the lover archetype is all about emotion, is all about connection. The lover archetype knows no boundaries. He was everything I struggled to be as a man for my queen. He was everything emotionally and with a seemingly embodied capacity to tap into energy and emotion and feelings that my queen, in almost every argument in our marriage up until that point, a month would pass, 2 months would pass, and almost every argument, when it would happen, what would come to the surface, the one thing she was continually yearning, asking from me, provoking me with comments that, in the hope I can see now, it seemed it hurt at the time. The old condition, the truth hurts. The only reason it was hurting because I felt inadequate, unable. I didn't think emotionality was available to me. I was trying to meet every last single practical need, offer, support, provide. I don't know, do you resonate with that as a man in your intimate relationship, in your marriage? You know, well, if I can provide everything she needs, is that not sufficient? Is that not enough in itself? And, you know, I tried that game. But like the arguments would come, it's like you're just not emotionally present. You're just not sensitive to my needs. You're just not listening to me. It's like, but I am. I'm fucking listening now. But it's like, yeah, but that's not what I mean. You know, I didn't know what she wanted. And yet, the process of sacred humiliation was, this guy came in and the arrangement was to be in our home for 3 weeks. Interestingly enough, the psyche will serve you up whatever experience you need to grow most. I ended up with a kick up of a severe chest infection that needed 2 courses of antibiotics. I was knocked out severely for 2 weeks, and indeed the asthma kicked up in that time with the chest infection, of course, was triggered a lot, and I was wiped. I was wiped, I was weak, I was like energetically, emotionally, it's like psychologically, I was on my knees with physically what my body was going through. And what I was seeing going on was energetically, emotionally, the triangle with 3 people involved, it's like, you know, the 2 points of the triangle, which was my queen and this other guy, were those points of the triangle were becoming really, really energetically close. And it's like my point of the triangle was getting more and more distant. And I was seeing this going on, and physically where I was at, with the chest infection, asthma, I was struggling to have the power and energy, but I was seeing it happen. But there was some part of me that didn't want to admit, was minimizing, normalizing. It's like, oh, it's nothing. But deep down, I knew what was happening, and it was bringing up massive inadequacy in me. There was almost a point where my inner child was, well, almost like I was submitting myself to the situation. It's like, maybe my queen deserves more. Maybe she deserves, like, maybe this guy or some guy, maybe if she actually found a man that could meet her needs. It's like, I just don't know how. Maybe I'm broken. I felt broken. Some part of me felt broken, that I just was insufficient, that I just would never be able to meet this need. And I've always loved her so much, as much as I was consciously available and able to. But the situation as it was unfolding in front of me was just revealing some point where I perceived I was at. And yet, you know, some other part emerged. As I got physically better, as I overcame, my body overcame the chest infection, You know, and I could feel that there was the shame. I went through the shame, shaming myself. I could feel that there was a blame. There was like, oh, but it's wrong what both of these people are doing. They're doing this to me. This is disrespect. This is dishonoring. This is horrible. I was putting myself in a victim mode. And yet one morning, like it was the first morning I got up and I felt really good. I felt better. I felt I was coming back. My body was coming back into my power. I woke up and there was a real definite sense of determination in me. I was like, this is just the truth of where you're at. You've knocked over 12 years to this point of dominoes, Mark, that have created this situation. This is your 100%. You can only look at your 100% to get out of this situation. Blaming and shaming, it just won't work. It's not available to you. You will fuck up everything even worse than it seems to be now. You've got to face the truth. And I, at that point, literally was invoking myself to step into my king. And I did. And it took 3 days. I remember going down at the breakfast table. I said to my beautiful queen, I was like, hey, I need to walk with you on the road. I need to get out of here. We need to go for a walk. I need to talk with you. And I stepped into my king's power. I went beyond shaming myself. I stepped into my power. I was like, I'm not going to shame myself. I'm going to ferociously self-love and accept myself. Another term that was birthed in that period. I'm not going to blame my queen though. She has been hurting because I have not been stepping into my power. That was such a revelatory thing for me to do. And it offloaded the pressure off her. I was like, hey, look, this is what I see is going on. So, cut a long story short. Only by submitting myself to the truth of owning where I was at and my role in knocking over dominoes for 12 years and owning my shit, did I possess the ground under my feet to actually step forward in a powerful way. It took 3 days of deep, intense conversations that brought up a lot of emotion both sides for us. But by owning my shit, my 100%, and not projecting any of blame onto my queen, she actually progressively, rapidly was like, yeah, hold on, there's my 100%. And she found a path of least resistance to owning her stuff. And rapidly, this love, this connection, this story of 12 years, of two kids, of so much challenge that we had faced individually and collectively together, this connection was just reinvigorated. And ever since, we've just been deepening this beautiful intimacy. Yet the only thing that tapped, that allowed me to face that, was facing the truth of where I was truly at and owning my 100%. Just slowing down, guys, you know, I don't say any of this actually there again to say, oh, I'm brilliant, what I did. I felt I was on my knees in that period, the 2 weeks where I was feeling sick, on my knees. Some of the lowest moments emotionally that I've ever faced where I felt more exquisitely alone than ever before in my life were in those 2 weeks. I want to just make that, like, put that forward. Have I come out powerfully to the far side? Yes. Do I own my magnificence? Yes. Do I own my kingliness and my capacity as man to fucking step into my power? Yes. That's how I can step up into this arena and the podcast in my life and, you know, lean in. Because I know what it is to have owned my shit. Finally, as I say, the 12 years of dominoes were a result of creating this situation came from not owning my shit. So, two sides of the same coin. Owning my magnificence? Yes. Stepping into my power? I'll own that shit. But I also want to own exquisitely, explicitly. It only resulted because of not owning my shit. Touching base with you. Where might you not have been owning your shit? Where maybe have you been pointing the blame finger at other people for creating a current situation you're feeling in some aspect of your life? Or where have you been hiding behind, oh, shaming yourself? Oh, I'm just not good enough. It's victim vomit. That's victimhood. That's not taking 100% responsibility, just blaming yourself, shaming yourself. That's hiding as well. I've done it. This is not a criticism. I've done it. It's not the kingly way. It does not empower you to blame yourself and shame yourself or to blame others. Another experience I went through that really brought me to my knees but brought me to my knees, to the ground of my being, where I was really at, was my health. You know, intimacy, one major part of a man's life, my intimate relationship. This was health, my energy, another major component that us as men can negate as being important and sacrifice in the pursuit of, you know, riches, in the pursuit of the busyness of life. My health. I was faced with the gauntlet of asthma. I said in different episodes, beginning of 2020, asthma flared up majorly for 2 months, and I won't go so deep into that, but like it was revealing fear. My breathwork coach that I reached out for support went beyond my lone wolfing of the situation. He said it within the first 5 minutes. He's like, Mark, the psychosomatic emotional root of asthma is undealt with fear. Stop me in my tracks. Wow. Fear, and honestly, it was fear of my power. For so long, I was cognizant of some massive power in me. The power that is now actually being birthed, and the man I'm becoming now to step into this arena in the podcast and leading the Kings of Freedom.me, the online masculine mastery training. I've had this story in me for a long while, but it seemed too great for me. It seemed beyond my capacity as a man. I had the dream, I had the vision. I've known for a long while what I wanted to gift the world, the mission I had, the message I had for other men, and you know, the movement I wanted to lead. I've had that clarity. I just didn't feel I was able. There was a massive unexpressed, undealt with fear that was in me. And in shadow work, you know, the shadow will force itself into expression. And the undealt with fear was forcing itself into expression in my body through asthma, through tightening up. I couldn't breathe. You know, we say metaphorically so often, it's like, oh, I could breathe easily, you know, when a certain situation has been resolved. I wasn't dealing with this fear, and it was my bodily intelligence telling me, bringing me to the ground of the truth of where I was at. It's like, hey, you're not dealing with this fear. And it was hard. You know, the breathwork practice, and I keep doing it in my practice every single day, is a practice of sacred humiliation. I will know within a few moments of doing a breath hold steps practice on the road, where I peg my nose, take a small little breath, breathe out, and I go running for 80 steps. I know within 10 steps, if I'm bullshitting myself, if there's hardness there, if there's anxiety there, if there's fear there that I haven't dealt with that day, I'll feel that in my body. I will feel a panic come up. Definitely by the time I get to 60, 70, 80 steps and beyond, I'll feel that. When I do breath hold practice when I come back, I will feel that. I will know it'll be a dogfight inside. It's a process of daily sacred humiliation, of finding where I'm at. That's what's revealed in the breathwork practice for me. And I've learned to love that. Yet in the beginning, I thought the breathwork was causing this in me. It's causing my fear. It's causing my anxiety. I was saying it to my queen coming in afterwards, Matilda. I was like, oh, Jesus, it's such a horrendous practice, this. It's like it's causing me these anxieties. I literally was shitting myself in the toilet like 6-7 times a day. It wasn't causing any of that. It was revealing anxieties in me. It was revealing fear in me. Parenting, another situation of and a process of sacred humiliation, owning up 100% of what I had a leading, starring, the protagonist role in my film of creating the situation. In the last 12 months, I was becoming rapidly aware of the deep inner work I was doing in my own. I had joined several men's groups. I was getting coaching. I had deep masculine coaching training. It was revealing where I was at and where I needed to go emotionally. But the more truth I faced within in my inner world and then in my intimate relationship, well, then the torch, the flame of truth was lighting up other parts of my kingdom, and parenting was a major part. It was a revelatory experience for me to actually start seeing how much hardness was present, definitely in our oldest daughter, Anya, which was produced from my 100%. Of course, Matilda has her 100%, but owning my shit, Not going, oh, but it was the two of us. Owning my 100%. In king style. Sacred humiliation. Facing the ground of my truth. My oldest daughter, Anya, and it was more pronounced in her. Obviously, presence in her younger daughter. She was 6 at the time and 7 now. But Anya just had a few more years to see the behaviours and see the protective strategies more pronounced. I could see that she was sort of, she'd go into a bubble. She was directly challenged. If any time my mood would switch, she'd go into a bubble. It was like she wasn't reachable in that bubble. And no matter if I snapped out of a sort of a bad mood and then I just rationally tried to communicate to her, she was in a bubble. She was inaccessible psychologically by rationale, and this really fucking triggered me. And yet the process of sacred humiliation as a guy, and I just invite you, if you're a parent, I invite you into, you know, as I express this, where are you at in your parenting? And maybe is there some points where you might be pointing the finger at your kids being bold or being, you know, behaving in an incorrect manner? I know I was. I was being triggered, and I'd actually, I think of it now, I would sort of give out on you. Be like, oh yeah, but would you snap out of it? You know, would you just answer the question? And I'd get really frustrated with her, and I end up projecting. But my process of sacred humiliation was actually owning, going, hey Mark, she's had 10 years of you as a man, 9.5, 10 years of you as a man, not owning your shit and building up, not expressing your anger in the first wave, in the second wave, the third wave, building up a tsunami of anger that would just explode at a certain given moment when work didn't go well, when you'd had a fight with your queen and whatever, but you weren't expressing, and then you'd unleash and you'd all of a sudden get express that frustration and that anger in a tsunami when you'd snap because some little mundane shitty thing in the environment of the girls, oh, a messy bedroom. Well, it was okay for the previous 2 weeks, but then today, it would be your excuse to just offload. I was not safe to be around as a man. That brought up so much grief for me. I have literally shed tears in my process of facing the truth of what I had created within my daughter. You know, she was hardening up. Why? Because somebody else had done something to her? No, I had done something to her. Unwittingly, unconsciously, unintentionally, I love her so much. And the grief came because I love her so much. But facing the truth of, she goes into this protective mode. She doesn't express her conversations at that point. When I realized this process, were so superficial. A little bit of talk about cartoons, and beyond that, nothing. It's like she didn't feel safe to reveal what was truly going on in her emotionally, because it was like, what she was saying energetically was, dude, you're not trustable. I'm not safe around you. Yeah, you're in super nice mode today, tomorrow, but I know that tsunami is going to hit, and when it hits, it hurts. So I'm just going to batten down the hatches. I'm not going to let you in, because when I'm open and then unpredictably you come in and within an instant you project, and if I'm open and I'm happy and I'm heart wide open, that hurts me. So all of these protective responses that I in the beginning was sort of seeing as challenging behaviors in her, like why the fuck is she like that? She was like that because of my 100%. This is not to put the mountain of responsibility on you. It's not all on you. There are under 100%. Of course. There again, guys. You know, if this is triggering and provocative, it's a provocative podcast. There's many other podcasts if you want to go to. You know, they'll talk about the light. They'll talk about the positive mindset. They'll talk about positive strategies that can help you live the great life that you want. If you want, message me in private. I'll send you on. There's a fuckload of them out there. 99.9% is all about that. If this is provocative, good. But it's not to focus on a weakness of you. It's to focus on a growth opportunity for you. The truth of where you're at. You might say, oh, 10 out of 10, my parenting. ask your child where they think you're at. And don't ask them once, because I started that in the beginning, asking for feedback. Do you know what the most triggering thing was? Anya was fucking terrified to give me feedback. Face that as a man. My 10-year-old at the time, she was terrified. She really didn't want to give me feedback. Now she's giving me feedback. One thing, just to tell you about, you know, my process of actually owning my shit. There again, it's not to go, oh, look at me. It's not to try to impress you, but it's just to reveal how this process has helped and supported me so much. So I'm lining up literally everything about bringing sacred humility and truth into my life, because it's my greatest power, and my grounded, expanding and deepening confidence is only coming from that. There's an if-then pre-commitment that I've set with my family to bring accountability in my life. Not accountability from work, from my business partner. We can have that in, as men, because we, you know, we've been conditioned that the work and mission external element is important. We might get the feedback from work. We mightn't like it, but it's, we sort of can submit to, there's a bit of the process there. But I'm inviting sacred humiliation into my everyday life. I've set a pre-commitment with my queen and with my two kids, which is this. If I'm hard, then shut the fuck up and relax. What this means is, if I'm hard, what hard means, and my beautiful wife, Matilda, and my girls, they sort of know what this is. If I'm hard, that represents the face that they will see. The voice that they know is when I'm in a mood. I'm in that mood where I'm not safe to be around. If I've closed down, if I'm hard, then shut the fuck up and relax. I actually consciously ask them, and are asking their support and giving them full permission, down to my 7-year-old. If she notices I'm hard, then she has the right and full permission to say, Dad, I notice you're hard, so shut the fuck up and relax. On one level, how humiliating is that? 7-year-old should not talk. A wife should not talk to a man like that. I bring it on. I've learned to bring it on because, to be honest, they're my greatest teachers. To be honest, when I get hard, I'm unconscious. The masculine mastery practice is embodied consciousness, is being present. But if I've got hard, no matter how righteous I feel in that moment, no matter how much the blame trigger feels, I'm right, they're wrong. I'm a victim, they're at fault. It's what they need to do. If I am hard, I've victimhood going on. If I have dropped out of conscious presence and my heart-centered nature, maybe I have a point that is right. But if my emotionality is hard, they're not safe. If my emotionality is hard, my friend is not safe. This is why I'm bringing this in. If I'm hard, then shut the fuck up and relax. And it is an inner process. When I notice myself hard, I'll drop in. Shut the fuck up, Mark. The thinking that is in your head at the moment is either shaming or blaming. That's why you're hard. Now claim it. Shut the fuck up. Go inside. Relax. Go for a walk. Do some breath work. Just take a drink of water. If you're hard in conversation with... If I'm hard in a conversation with my queen, with Matilda, I just say, hey, look, I just need 2 minutes. I want to go outside, breath of fresh air. I relax. I come back in. Every single time I come back in, I'm more heart-centered. I've softened, and she trusts me. She's now safe, and we get places. If I'm hard, shut the fuck up and relax. This is the level of inner practice. Not said to impress, but just to reveal and to explain this level of humility and how empowering it is. Truly dropping in, going beyond blaming and shaming and into claiming. I'm going to go much deeper into that in episode 3, Sacred Humiliation, the core masculine mastery practice. It just has spontaneously came up. One part that I really want to own here. So, like, intimacy. And it's just to give, like, 2020 for me as a man was facing the full sacred humiliation of the truth of where I was at and what how I had created such lack of balance, such closure in my intimacy. My marriage was about to, like, literally fall apart. My health, not dealing with my fear. My health was being severely affected. My parenting. 2020 was all about that. Whole life, ground zero, knocking apart, and parenting, health, intimacy, and my inner emotional world. 2021, I was like a man on fire. I came out, I had a 2-3 week deep retreat. I've actually held the boundaries off that retreat because of how valuable it was in finding the truth of where I'm at. Money and mission was 2021. And Kings of Freedom, the podcast, was birthed from that clarity. It was like, okay, let's reveal my truth, my mission, my what I want to lead this movement, to create impact and support, to be on the road for 1 million plus men around the planet. Like, there's knowing the truth of where and the inner battle and struggle I had to go through. I know I'm not alone on that. Nearly every guy, and, you know, just lean into your truth of what's being revealed within this podcast, other episodes and this episode. You know, there is an inner struggle that is not spoken about very often. So I was mission driven. Part of that was, you know, the transference of my mission and drive to create a structure of business, of money. Honestly, 2020, I didn't have the bandwidth. I was fully facing the truth where I was at. I didn't want to be out of integrity as a coach and to try and build my business in an inauthentic way to coach other guys. Oh, how to have a deep, intimate relationship when in actual fact my wife wanted to leave me. I didn't want to do that. I felt so out of integrity. I didn't want to not face my own fear and have asthma ripping through my life and taking an inhaler in continually suppressing the fear and parenting, etc. These major areas of my life I wanted to have in integrity, to have a, yeah, to be ship shape for the job at hand, in and to be able to do my coaching and my teaching in an honorable way. That was 2020. 2021 was mission. So I went all out. I created the podcast. Some of you have been following along. If you're new to it, this is sort of the way, radical honesty. I set up the podcast, did all of that. It was a new experience. There's sort of a lot of things behind the scenes to get that up and going. Got that up and going. We're in episode number 10. That was just up and going. Then it was like, okay, the online training portal. I invested like 2.5 months cooperating with, I think I counted at one point, it's like about 15 people at this point online, what do you call them, freelancers, helping, supporting me, creating, upgrading the website, getting the online training portal going. How there's all about how you can display and create that sort of like online physical presence, digital presence, and just all the membership, everything that goes online. So when you sign up now, you go to kingsoffreedom.me, and I invite you there if you're deeply interested in, you know, pursuing kingly confidence, masculine mastery, and fearless freedom. That is the online resource for it. But I submerged into that with such resolute determination. And it took so much of my time, every single available second and minute was dedicated to that, that I launched there a week and a half ago. And with full sacred humility and radical honesty, I was wiped with a depth of felt inadequacy for the 2 days on launch. Because the take-up was really, really slow. It didn't just like, oh, build it and they'll show up. I had spent so much time building it that, you know, I was like, well, I haven't marketed it. I haven't given time to marketing it. And that was okay. Like, I had to, the process was 2020 and before, you know, 12, 15 years as a man. Well, I'm sort of like, I'm 5 or 6 years at this game of men's coaching. Like, there's 5 years there of not knocking over dominoes enough in my business. So, okay, 2020 was all about inner growth and growth opportunities and doing the inner work. 2021 is about money and mission. But all of a sudden, again, life revealed the truth of where I was at and where I was not at. A lot of social conditioning about you're only a successful man when you have money in the bank. You're only a successful man when your career is skyrocketing high and you're at the top. That's the only time, you know, this conditioning, that's the only time when you can feel truly good about yourself. All of that conditioning in over 2 days, guys, bubbled up. It fucking knocked me. It knocked me for two. And it just reveals this level of shadow that was being suppressed. This level of conditioning. This level of conditioning from home growing up. Who do you think you are to do such a thing? To create a masculine mastery training program? But you're not successful. All of these inner demons came up. And really came up to the point at which, like, my mind was coming and I was witnessing. There still was a witnessing presence that day. It was like a dogfight between my king. It's like the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. The devil was whispering and sometimes screaming for those 2 days, "You're a fucking piece of shit. You're worthless." It got really, really dark. And I hadn't experienced that in such a long time that the contrast of how good I was feeling, the contrast to then in those 2 days, on the launch days, how this darkness came up, this shadow was revealed. It was really intense to deal with and to relax into. And yet that's what I did. I relaxed into. It was like, okay, so all these thoughts are coming up, that I'm a piece of shit. All of this darkness, this shadow is coming up. I'm worthless. I'm worthless as a man. And if I'm worthless as a man, I'm worthless as a dad, I'm worthless as a husband. This was coming up as I was practicing, well, just relax into it. I wanted to sedate it. Like I said it to my queen, Matilda. I was like, I just want to work. Sedate it. I was like, no. I went for a walk. I listened to it. I was doing my breath work. It was coming up intensely. I did twice as much breath work. I was doing yoga. One of the days I was doing yoga, and I literally was in the middle of the daily session of half hour of yoga with my queen. She's a yoga instructor. We do half an hour of yoga every evening. The first evening of launch, I was halfway through the process and I felt like breaking down crying. Maybe there was some wisdom, I should have just cried, but you know, there was a part of me going, as these thoughts were coming in, really dark thoughts coming in about my worthlessness, there was another voice there. And this is the core of the process of sacred humiliation. It's the king in me, the fatherly presence in me that is totally independent of all the conditioning, of all the voices I've listened to that have shamed me from the outside and created this shadow. There was a voice in me going, "But look at you fucking go, Mark." This voice, one part of your psyche, is trying to take you down. But look at you. You're in the arena. You're doing the yoga. You're doing the breath work. You're not submerging into sedating, blaming, or shaming. You are going beyond. Stick with the process, this voice said to me. You will come out the far side and you will be more powerful than ever before for doing it. This is sacred humiliation. The king in me was saying this to me. Now it was intense. It was dark. Really intense. Yet some part of my being was whispering that to me. And indeed, day two, I did twice the amount of breath hold practice, of breath calming practice. Because I know, to do that practice, I've got to shut the fuck up and relax. Shut the fuck up that part, that commentary, that inner critic, that monkey brain that wants to talk and think and think and think and think. That has to shut up for me to be able to do that practice. I said it to Matilda. I was like, hey, I just want to do twice the practice today. Did an hour and 20 minutes. I got out the far side and inner peace was felt. The truth of where I was at revealed. There's shadow there. There's self-judgment there. You'll deal with that. I'll journal. I've been dealing with it. I've since refound my ground in my kingliness. And then the truth of where I was at was revealed also. It was like, hey, Mark, you know, now you have created the structure, the foundation, the vehicle, the podcast, the online training portal. It's all set. It's like the hotel is ready to open. Now, the truth of where you're at is, now get busy, get creative, and learn how to fill it. It's the next domino to knock over. It's a neutral domino. There's no inadequacy. It's just me in my power, looking at my situation neutrally for what it is, and stepping forward. This is only revealing and possible for me, guys, by opening up to the process of what I call sacred humiliation, the intense initiation into kingship, owning the truth, the hummus, the ground, the truth of where I'm at. And I'm looking just at the time as we're an hour and 20. And guys, to be honest, I don't apologize. Unapologetically, some of these podcast episodes, they're long. Because there's so much that needs to be said, actually. And I don't want to oversimplify. And part of the kingly practice and the training is, we've got to go deep. My greatest commitment is to be of deepest service for you. So, you know, there again, some podcasts, some online, a lot of online marketing is, oh, but people's attention span, they can only digest 60 seconds. Then they go into a mush of shit. That is not the kingly way. And if you go into a mush of shit, well, you probably have not returned to the podcast. But those of you that are returning, I'm here to serve the king in you. And the king in you is cool. If you need to come back and split it up into three segments, split it up into three segments. But we're going deep. Masculine mastery training, it's intense. Masculine mastery training through the process of podcast, yeah, it goes to an hour and 20 sometimes. It's necessary. I'm here to serve, I'm here to reveal, I'm here to provoke, I'm here to step into my kingly power and invite you to step into your full kingly power. What I've been revealing about my journey is not here to impress, but it is to reveal and say, hey, this is part of the process that I welcome into my life. When I say to my family and I welcome them, if I'm hard, then shut the fuck up and relax. I welcome myself to be held accountable by those nearest and dearest to me, where my process unconsciously of blaming them and shaming myself just was not fucking working for me. And honestly, if you're really radical honest with yourself, you will know the truth is that when you shame yourself, it does not work. It hides you from your 100% responsibility, the ability to respond. When you blame others, you create fires where they will resist you. They will not trust you. They will not feel safe around you. That can be employees. It can be friends. It can be brothers. It can be your queen, your kids. It doesn't matter who it is. You can blame the government. It doesn't fucking work. It's victim vomit. It does not empower you. Sacred humiliation is the intense initiation into kingship. It's putting the symbolic, metaphorical, energetic crown on your head. And when you do so, yes, you step into the greatest power that's available to you as a man. But it's only accessible. It's not a word that you can say. And there's many men out there saying, oh, the king and me, we're all kings here. They don't have a fucking clue. They haven't dropped their spiritual balls to actually have the courage to step into 100% ownership. It's an intense process. But it is the only available process that is proven, that will support you and empower you to create the have-it-all life that you deserve, the have-it-all life that you can, when you go through this process and learn. It's not enough to listen to this podcast, this episode. That's why there's going to be a number two and a number three. And that's why there's an online training portal. It's training, it's practice. You don't master jiu-jitsu by turning up twice and thinking you're a fucking warrior. You don't master, I was talking with a pilot recently on this process of sacred humiliation. You don't master piloting by taking like three or four private pilot license lessons. Yeah, you might be able to twist and bend in a plane with a bit of instruction on the side. You're not mastering shit. The path of mastery is repetition. The path of mastery in any true endeavor, as a Navy SEAL, as a samurai, as a jiu-jitsu practitioner, as a man, as a king, is repeatedly hitting the dojo, hitting the mat of training, of repeatedly finding out the process, submitting yourself to the process of finding out the truth of where you're at now, the truth of where you're at now, the truth of where you're at now. It shreds the facade that we have learned and been conditioned to put on the public face and dip into the truth of where we are at on the inside, beyond the facade, I have held a facade up for years. I've almost committed suicide. I've had major issues with alcohol, with porn addiction, with the addiction to being right, with the addiction to shaming myself, with the addiction of blaming others, with many addictions. Just to sedate myself from the pain of the truth hurts. But you know, when you actually just face the hurt and learn how to face and embrace and ferociously love and accept the inadequacy that has been conditioned into you. It's not your fault that you have this. This is just a process. It's a societal issue. It's not your fault. But it is your responsibility. Your ability to respond is to learn to face these feelings inside. Learn to embrace this shadow aspect, this unconscious aspect that you've been conditioned to pack away because you were made believe that this was a failure of yours as a man. It's not a failure. I welcome you. I invite you. The process of masculine mastery of this, the whole purpose of Kings of Freedom, the podcast and the movement, is to embrace our magnificence, the light of our brilliance and our genius. But we can only really step into the arena of life and create the have it all life that is becoming of the king, of the magnificent men we are, by also integrating and inviting the suppressed part of our being that we learned to shame and to suppress, inviting that back in and saying, you know, it's okay. Saying, with great power comes great responsibility. I will learn to ferociously self-love and accept that aspect of my being. It's an intense practice, yet it's a revealing practice of your greatness, of your capacity to live and die without regret. This is the king, the Kings of Freedom way. This is the way of the conscious king, of the heart warrior that you are, that I am. Brothers, I leave it at that for today. Looking forward to circling back in episode number 2 and 3 in the series. But for today, what has been said is perfect. What has not been said will be said at a more perfect time another day. With deep bows and big love, have a beautiful, peaceful, and kingly day.